user-friendly games. I'm your host, Bill Snodgrass, and as I said on the last episode, Paizo Publishing sent me a box of books. In this box was three books of the first campaign for Starfinder. That's right, Dead Sons. As well as five of the six books for Ruins of Azlaunt, a Pathfinder campaign. For those who haven't played Pathfinder or Starfinder and are not used to this, most of the official Paizo Publishing pieces come in multiple books. Many campaign systems come in one large book, or maybe two. Paizo has broken it down into about one or two levels of game. That means first half of the book is usually level 1 and level 2 stuff, so you end the book at level 3, next book picks up at level 3, goes through level 4, and ends at level 5, so on and so forth. It's paced that way. So the difference here, though, is that you are buying more books to get where you're going than some other systems. There's a lot of material they give you, though, because first half of the book, like I said, is usually campaign. It's usually even more like 3/4 of the book. And that last half or quarter is usually something about lore and more world building, equipment, things like that that you can add into your game, or that's been added because of this book. A key thing, too, is the bestiaries they put at the end, which include new monsters. Now, getting into that, I did have some problems with Ruins of Azlaunt, the Pathfinder campaign. And that is because, as some of you know, that's right, we are now moving into Pathfinder 2. So Pathfinder 2nd Edition is about to come out probably beginning of next year, end of this year. And so we're still seeing stuff coming out for Pathfinder, but there is a large, very large library of stuff there. And that kind of is a thing. So they allow what is called the Pathfinder SRD. Or for those who don't know what that is it's a resource online that gives you basically anything you can find in the books. Except for maybe the actual straight rules on things, because they want you to buy the main book, things like that. But you can find monsters, information that way. And that's good, because the beginning of most of these books have anywhere from 6 to 8, even more books listed as extra references needed for rules and things like that. Now, I did run into one that actually required a book that wasn't listed in the front. It required Bestiary 6. Instead of the Bestiaries 2, 3, 4, and 5 that it listed. So, minor problem, but that's where it is. And though I would really like the monsters to be listed in there, just because they're simple and it's easy, but they're saving space, things of that way. Going back to Starfinder, since this is what I'm passionate about, Starfinder campaign is, so far for the first half of it, there I don't see any railroading of your characters, if you're a player or a DM. You're probably going to enjoy it. It's a good introduction. It throws it right into the chaos of everything. Plenty of combat, plenty of dialogue. It's pretty well set up. A lot of exploration, a lot of feeling of accomplishment for your players if they can make it. That's kind of where it sets. I mean, I don't want to give away anything on it. It's a sci-fi adventure, and you're dealing with things that you've kind of been pointed about in the little book, other lore, a lot of dealing with undead, discovering what this world universe is, well, just that solar system, really. And a lot of ideas. They, you know, give your characters a ship early on, it gives that sense of freedom, and there's a lot of development past this, I think. Ruins of Azlaunt kind of went for this South American, looking at the cover of the second book, Conquistador thing. Some people will probably pick this up and think, oh, this is just a rehash of Tomb of Annihilation for Pathfinder. Looking at it, it's not. It's kind of in the same feel, but going with the Pathfinder ideas, it's clean, it's got a lot of different exploration and things like that, plenty of information, and looks like if you're into that kind of thing, you're going to have a lot of fun. And by that thing, I mean that aesthetic of the Islander South American exploration. I know my crew usually likes to go for the Viking thing, so, you know, each group's different. My group might have fun with it. I don't know. So give it a shot. So that's both of those. So far, I haven't really seen any problems with either of them as a review. And if you're wondering why I'm a little vague on this, is because reviewing a campaign is not that easy. I can review it as, here's plenty of material, plenty of ideas, plenty of things being offered to you. I always say that as a resource. The difference is my experience with a campaign is not going to be the same as yours. And I've had experiences that are bad with campaigns because just the way they were written. And I've had experiences with campaigns that, even though they were designed for a different party group and issues did develop on my DM side because he didn't know what to do, they really ended up being really great campaigns. So again, that's Dead Sons, the first campaign for Starfinder, and Ruins of Azlaunt for Pathfinder. Drop by your local game store, look them up online, give them a shot. Tell us what you think. Remember, you can leave us your comments at userfriendlyshow.com. Check us out at One User Friendly on Facebook and Twitter. And if you didn't know, we're now also available on TuneIn. That's right, you can ask Alexa or whatever smart device you have to play User Friendly Podcast. And here we will. You'll either be one of these or it will be our regular show. Don't forget we're on SoundCloud. We are on iTunes, Google Play. And that's right, TuneIn again. So we will be right back after this little break. Welcome back. I'm sure a lot of you have heard about Monster Hunter World. Maybe some of you are on the fence about it. It's an interesting game. One of the highest selling games for Capcom in a long time. And there's a reason for that. It's because it is a fun game. However, it is a game that many may find extremely hard to get into. While this is the most open and approachable version of the game so far released, and it's a long series, and it's not one of those ones that you really have to know anything in the previous series. There is no real storyline to this game. There is, but you don't play this game for the storyline. That's about the first introduction, the tutorial for the game, the storyline. But what it is, there's a lot of controls and a lot of combos and a lot of things that they don't tell you about. They try to, with these little tutorials or things like that. They have a training area for things. Honestly, YouTube and online communities are your friend, including friends. Honestly, friends are your friends. I myself went on Facebook, found a group there for PS4 users of the game, and basically found myself people to play with, people who had played previous games, people who were new to this one, and we all learned and taught each other, and I'm going to admit it, they carried me through the beginning of the game so that I could really get into the upper stuff and have fun with it. And that is really where it is. There is some social things to it. Now, what you're first going to run across, though, is there are actually a lot of problems with the online connectivity. I can't remember how many days I've played this of the over 200 hours that I've put into the game, personally, where I have tried to connect to other people that I know. And this is either a server side or some other level of problem that's going on with the game. They've known about it since its release. There's not much you can do about it other than try to reset your system and hope that it connects. A lot of it are these error 5038Fs, which are, according to what some people have recognized, possibly an issue connecting with another person in that session. What that means is you're actually having a problem connecting to your friend or someone else, and that's stopping you from joining the whole session to play with other people. So if there's a session full of 15 people and you want to be number 16, if even one of them you can't connect to, it will keep you from joining that server. It happens. Maybe they'll get it fixed. I'm hoping they do, because it is really annoying. When you're trying to game with your friends, and everybody's on, and everyone's raring, and your friends are on mic and waiting for you, and sorry guys, I can't get in the session. it won't let me. Outside of that problem, though, it's got a learning curve. Now, part of the learning curve is also learning what this game is really about, and that is grinding. For an old-timer like me who likes RPGs, and I mean old RPGs, you know, Final Fantasy 1 through 7, 8, 9, 10 even. I guess 12 was like that, or was it 11? One of them. I quit playing after 10, and there's a learning curve there because you are going to be spending time fighting the same thing over and over again. Mostly to get gear. And gear is good, because you have a feline friend that accompanies you on this whole thing, and you get to make them fancy armor, and that is adorable. Now besides that, pretty much every class you do, which is 14 classes, everything from lances and lances with guns on them, to bows, to swords that turn into axes, and axes that turn into greatswords, and there's quite a few different variations there. New different play styles, it's very customizable, very adaptable, and can be very fun hunting monsters. Now, some people compare this to Dead Souls or Bloodborne, that kind of genre. I would say that the attack and dodge mechanics are very similar, but as far as how you actually play the game and your methodology, and I say this because I am actually currently playing Bloodborne at the moment, and it is agitating me to no end because I'm not used to this die and keep trying mentality that you have to have with Bloodborne, and eventually I'll get around to it. But Monster Hunter World is definitely a game that is not for someone who wants to get through everything real quick. I mean, there is a way to do that. You can play this in a week and get through the storyline and call it good. Really what you're looking towards is the DLC, things that they're adding on, and they have add-ons. They have weekly events, they have weekly bounties that help get more stuff. And yes, eventually you start looking at, okay, well now that I've played out, let's say bow, I have all these bows, I'm kind of bored of it, you can switch to another class. And classes aren't really set. That's more of your armor and which weapon you choose determine how you do things. And you're able to adjust your armor by, say, your boots, your belt, your chest piece, your arms, your head, and what's called a charm. And they all have different skills that you adjust towards things. And that's how you play the game. Give it a shot. Have you played Monster Hunter World? Let us know. Userfriendlyshow.com. I know I've been enjoying it, and so it is one of my top games for 2018 so far. I don't know where it's going to go, but what I've seen so far, after 200-something hours of playing it, it is the most approachable for newcomers, especially if you're willing to go to YouTube, especially if you're willing to ask for help. The game doesn't hold your hand, but you could do it without that. They could have done a lot more to bring new people in, but I think they did that somehow because, well, I'm not even sure how many millions of copies it has sold. I believe it was over 7 million earlier this week. And that's the first big numbers Capcom has had in a long time. So give it a try. Remember, hit us up at userfriendlyshow.com. Check us out at One User Friendly on Facebook and Twitter. And until next time, happy gaming.
User Friendly is copyright 2018 User Friendly Media Group, Inc. All rights reserved. Music used under license. Opinions expressed on this show are those of the host and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of User Friendly Media Group, Inc. or this station.